Good evening. It's good to see all of you out this evening. I want to make a special note. It's good to see the visitors that are with us. It's definitely encouraging to see you here. And a special note, it's good to see Ted, who is with us this evening as well. If you will, turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, 15 through 23. That's where our lesson will be starting from this evening. Luke 14, 15 through 23. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to them, "Blessed be he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" In this parable here, we see a man that has a great supper and invites people to come in. But when he does, they all give excuse. As a manager of a rental property, I get to hear every form of excuse that can be thought of. From "I need to get my car fixed so I can work to pay rent," "my mom's aunt's daughter passed away for the second time this month," or my favorite, "after I've paid my bills, I don't have enough left to pay rent." All of these are excuses for not doing what one should. People are always making excuses for not doing their duty, and especially for not coming to Christ. If I asked you to come to Christ, would you already have an excuse ready for not accepting that invitation? For a few minutes this afternoon, I want to take a look at some excuses that we use to avoid salvation. First excuse: I'm a good person. Compared to whom? If you are comparing yourself to other people, you will always find someone that has done worse things than you. But compared to God's standard, we all fall short. Let's turn our Bibles over to Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, 48. "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And get your pencils out, get your recording devices. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. Even one sin will keep us from heaven. But Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. When we repent and trust in Him, He gives us eternal life. Second excuse: there are too many hypocrites in the church. So this is the answer that you will give to God on the day of judgment? Our opinion about other people of the church will have nothing to do with our eternal destination. There are hypocrites in the church. There are hypocrites at work, and there are hypocrites at home. Does this mean that we will not go home and never go to work? This is the easiest and the weakest excuse. It's about another excuse: I already go to church and do good things, so that makes me a Christian. So by this logic, when you go to McDonald's, that makes you a hamburger. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." We see by this that it's not our works that are going to get us into heaven. No amount of good works, including going to church, will get us there. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 3. John 3, verse 3. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Only being reborn can we see heaven." The next excuse: My sins are too great. You're right. You are too bad, and so is everyone else. Let's look at a couple Bible characters here. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? God used every one of these people. Why would you think that you would be any different? Let's turn to Romans 3, 21 through 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The verse there, verse 23, for all have sinned. We talked about this morning in our Bible class, the word all. It doesn't really leave much room for anything else. It encompasses everything. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The way to heaven requires you to repent and turn from your sin, having faith that Jesus paid the cost for your sin. No matter what you have done, God will forgive you if you come to Him. Another excuse. I need to straighten my life out first. Has there ever really been a time in your life where your life was totally straightened out? A time when you've been completely problem-free, you've been a totally good person? There will never be a time when you feel you have arrived and are clean and ready to meet Jesus. The Bible says, all have sinned, Romans 3:23. Also, there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. Jesus loves us and wants us to come to Him just as we are. When we do, He is the one who cleans us from the inside out, making us ready for heaven. We can never do that on our own. What about this one? I follow the Ten Commandments. So in other words, you consider yourself to be a pretty good person. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything, even a paperclip? Have you ever said God's name in vain? If you have, then you are a liar, a thief, and a blasphemer. And those are only three of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says in order to get to heaven by the law, you must be perfect. Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect, like we read earlier, Matthew 5, verse 48. Even one sin, one time in your whole life, means you have broken God's law. Let's look what the Bible says about that. James 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Trying to follow the Ten Commandments is commendable, but it is impossible to keep them all of the time. The law was given to show us our sin, not as a way to get to heaven. Jesus came to earth to fulfill the law. He was perfect and kept the law in our place because we couldn't. And even though He was perfect, He chose to take a punishment we deserved for breaking the law. It is only through repentance and trusting in what Jesus did for us on the cross that we are able to have our sins forgiven and ever enter heaven completely clean because of what Jesus did for us. A couple more excuses. I'll wait till I'm older. We all want to live a long and healthy life, but are you sure that you will live till you get to be old? Exactly how old is old? Each year as we grow older, the concept of old age gets higher and higher. When I was younger, I thought 30 was old. Now I know 40 is when you start getting old. In other words, you'll probably put off turning to Christ until it's too late. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't know if you will even be alive tomorrow. Heart attacks, cancer, car wrecks, murder, the list goes on. You could be the next victim. Don't wait. The verses here say now is the time." One more excuse. "I don't believe in God." Well, just because you don't believe in God does not mean that He does not exist. Let's go back to our reading this afternoon, Romans 1, 16 through 20. Romans 1, 16 through 20. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.' For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God has made it so that we are without excuse. God shows Himself in His creation. He also shows Himself in the changed lives of His believers. It's the law of cause and effect. We believe in the existence of wind, the air, gravity, love. We can't see them, but we know that they exist by the effects that they have in our lives. There is a God who created us and loves us. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 21. And we'll be going to the end of the chapter, verse 31. Isaiah 40, 21 to 31. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches up the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when He will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom, then, will you liken Me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out the host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just calm is passed over by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." These verses show how powerful our God is. At the beginning of this lesson, I offered you an invitation to come to Christ. I asked you, if I offered you an invitation to come to Christ, would you already have an excuse for not accepting? Now is that invitation. Acceptance requires that you hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe in Him, Mark 16:16. You must repent of your sins, Acts 2:38, and confess that He is Lord, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. I have one more verse, and then the lesson will be yours. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Isaiah 1, 11 through 20. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to Me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before Me, who has required this from your hand to trample My courts? Bring no more fetal sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to Me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to Me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's a personal invitation from the Lord. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. If your sins are as scarlet, and they are red like crimson, he will make them like wool. If we refuse, we will be devoured by the sword. But if we are obedient, will we eat good of the land? So tonight I ask you, what's your excuse? If you have any need, the Lord bids you come while we stand and sing.